Welcome to this week's Foch's Corner. I'm once again not Mark Jerome. It's T Dub, and Mark is running a little late today. He's going to join here in 20 minutes, so. But we got a great crew today, and we're going to start again with the fan shout out in terms of everybody introducing themselves, so they get to hear your voice. So we'll start. We'll kick it off with Doug Fresh Smith.
Yep. Doug Smith, known as Fresh, UVA 93, go Hoos.
And next we've got the hilarious Chris Havlicek.
Hey guys, Chris Havlicek, aka Hav, aka Check. Happy to be here with you guys tonight.
And lastly, King of Twitter, UVA Twitter, I should say. Phony, aka Chris Davids.
What's happening, T-Dub, man? We are 6 days away from actual UVA basketball.
Amazing.
It's exciting.
And the draft was yesterday. I don't know if you guys watched that.
Lots of basketball. No Mamadi.
That was disappointing, really.
But yeah, so our last person joining us, well, Mark will jump on later, is a guy I've been wanting to bring on for a long time since my old podcast days, because I remember the first time we talked about it, he was asking me about being on the podcast. And I said, and he's a television guy. And so I told him, I said, look, this is not like television. Not just anyone can be on a podcast. And that was like 6 years ago, I think. But we're finally able to have him on now. Richmonders, I'm sure, know him. He is a weatherman for NBC 12. As far as I can tell, the most popular weatherman in Richmond. I don't know if they have a contest or not, but from my perspective here in the 757, he seems to be the big one, Mr. Andrew Frieden. Andrew, thanks for coming on.
It's an honor. It's a pleasure to be with the Twitterati here and all of you guys, and it's amazing to see and hear what you've built. And I basically love UVA basketball. My paying job is a meteorologist / weatherman at NBC 12 in Richmond, and my Twitter feed during basketball season changes dramatically from, you know, raining to, you know, who's raining threes. And I do my best to not annoy non-UVA fans, but, you know, that's where I love getting great information from people like you, and in particular, Phony, who, no offense to the rest of the crew here, who is basically royalty in our house as we watch games. My wife and kids are going, well, what did Phony say?
That is way too much pressure
during the game.
I know you tweet a lot about UVA basketball because this account's been around 8 years or whatever, and I started following you probably pretty close to 8 years ago, and it wasn't for your Richmond weather tweets. So at least during basketball season, it's a very UVA basketball focused Twitter account you got there. And what's your Twitter account? Tell the people.
Oh, yeah. Andrew NBC 12. And we are getting close, tantalizingly close to basketball season. So at least during games, there'll be lots of stuff on there. And, we have a lot of viewers of the TV station who are Tech fans and VCU fans and ODU and JMU. So I'm sort of like, it's all positive, right? Like I do my best to not slam anybody. And in fact, being born in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Wow.
Formative experiences, even though I left there pretty young.
You made it out, though.
I did a governor's school.
I'm proud of you.
I spent 3 days in Blacksburg, and it was the worst 3 days of my life. No, that was a joke. But I did leave where I was born. Spent some time in Blacksburg. I dated a girl who lived in Blacksburg. Love Blacksburg. And so I'm one of those people that if Virginia Tech is not playing us, I would like them to win. I'd like them to beat everybody. In fact, the plan was going according to schedule that Buzz Williams was going to build Tech up and that it was going to be UVA Tech at the top of the ACC. And UNC and Duke fans were going to tweet things like, those damn Virginia refs.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Tony Bennett has held up his end of the bargain, but Tech, I think, is maybe not going to quite be number two here.
Is that a thing now? Do people call it Virginia refs? Because we used to always call it Carolina refs.
Right. No, I don't think Carolina. So. Not yet. I think, Andrew was hoping we'd get there. Yeah, I loved Buzz. I mean, I loved him coaching somebody else's team because I don't know how I feel if my coach had that kind of antics. But I found him entertaining, and he was a very smart coach. So just a little bit weird.
Yeah, but Doug, people basically, like, they've started, the Duke and UNC people, UVA has basically been the number one team for, what, 5 years in the ACC?
Yeah.
And they do say things. They're like, oh, Virginia gets all the calls. And to me and to you guys, as, you know, long-suffering fans, it's the funniest thing. I love it.
It's so great.
I can see where they're trying, their angle, by the way, because I'm amazed at how our guys can stand their ground, especially the big guys.
Not get fouled.
Yeah. I've called like 1,000 fouls on our team in the last 5 years that were fouls.
Well, you see a lot of – there's a lot of chattering about a lot of grabbing by our guys.
I don't see the grabbing.
I don't pick up on it.
Half can tell you back in the early 90s, Duke just fouled every single play, so they couldn't call any foul.
Just dared them.
Yeah. They fouled every single play, and that was half as much as Anthony Oliver fouled me every day. But I love you, AO. I love you.
Would you agree that if you're a Virginia basketball fan, the Tech rivalry isn't as crazy as if you came up as a Virginia football fan? Is that a fair assessment, or
am I making things up? Yeah. I mean, when all of us were in school, it was a once a year, like, neutral site kind of thing.
Yeah, and Virginia won every year,
and nobody cared about it.
Like, yeah, it really did.
Was not.
Yeah,
at least from the fan side, it was nothing that people were getting excited about or really talking about. And one of it that it never happened. At U-Haul, I guess probably.
Like, none of you guys ever went to Blacksburg and stole their hokey during the week of the game or something like that. Whatever the fuck I hope, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I didn't do that for football either. So,
can I tell you a story about my crew in college and the greatest comeback in the history of all time, which is the comeback against Duke in 94-95 at Cameron?
Oh yeah, let's hear it.
So I was a member of one of those crazy acapella singing groups, the Hullabahoos.
And that's so weird. I was too. Just kidding.
No, Chris Hav actually was, but he did it by himself.
Chris, I knew that you were not in one of the acapella groups because our, as guys who are not D1 athletes, our only way to compete with the ladies to get as close to people like you was to try to sing our way into their hearts as opposed to
down the uniform. It's a good tactic, good strategy.
So these guys, one of my crew, I didn't go. I was at home and I missed the greatest weekend of all time. These guys road trip to Cameron Indoor Stadium for that game. And again, you remember they were down by, I think, 20 something at halftime.
Yeah. That was a Pete Godet, right?
Say that again.
I said that was when Pete Godet had just taken over for Kay.
Jeff Capel.
Oh, yes. And it was a halftime comeback that was, epic. And UVA came back and won the game. So my guys, six of them, went there. One of our UVA guys, one of the crews, best friends from high school, was in charge of checking the hand stamps at the door for students for Cameron Indoor. He said, come down, we're going to make this happen. They come down, they borrow IDs that don't even look like them. We had a tall redhead, and he had like a guy with dark skin and, dark hair.
Like TW. They went
to this specific guy and they got in. And so now you have six UVA or maybe five UVA seniors, fourth years, in Cameron Indoor, packed in with the crazies. They've got Duke gear on because if they had UVA gear on, they'd be spotted and thrown out. And back then, of course, the Cameron crazies were even crazier,
less corporate
than
they
are
so much better.
So they get in there. They've got their Virginia gear, similar to this, underneath their Duke gear. And for those of you on the podcast, I just did a visual of me half undressing, and two of the guys on the podcast just fell out of their chair. They swooned. So UVA starts coming back and they're being quiet. Our guys are being quiet. They don't want to cheer for UVA because number one, killed, and number two, they don't want to get killed by Duke fans. So then they start cheering when it becomes, oh my gosh, we may get this. They start yelling at Duke during the Duke free throws.
Which that's so great.
Never happens because you'd get killed. Then the Duke fans start chanting, cover your ears, Nathan, my son's right here. Assholes, and pointing at them all in unison because they've taken off their Duke gear. They got UVA gear on. UVA comes back and wins the game. Instead of them getting beaten up, they quickly throw their Duke gear on, slide back in with everybody else, and exit. They were witness in person, and they, I say, caused the win
This is so good.
Absolutely.
That's incredible.
By the way, I'll be honest. I wouldn't be scared of like 20 Duke fans trying to fight me. So
right.
I think they'd be fine. Now, if we're doing an engineering contest or a meteorology contest, I got a problem. But
there you go.
Not a fight. That's a great story. That's really cool.
Hey, you got it fresh. You can vouch for this. I think we've talked about it before. No fans in the cut. There's a lot of crazy places you can play and yep. with great fans. Those kids are so coordinated in their chants, in oh, their yeah. knowledge of the opponent, in their, I guess, sort of group think. They're really yeah. good, and I would not want to be on the end of the 10,000 Duke kids, or maybe less because Cameron's not that big, but
yeah, pretty good. It's still an impressive environment, I think, but the fans, I don't think they're as knowledgeable as they used to be. I think there's a point at which they kind of became a caricature of themselves, like yeah. instead of being this rabid fan base, the newcomers, because that's the problem, it's constantly turning over. And this is what we have to be. And it just doesn't feel as authentic as it used to. And maybe that's just me being old.
A phony.
Well, the era of one and done engineering students is upon us, just like it is in basketball. So they don't have 4 years to get together like they used to.
That's a great point.
This is a 10-year-old boy right here, Nathan. Come here. See him?
What's up, Nate?
What's up, Nathan?
He is a UVA fan, basically, because his dad forced him to, and we live in Virginia. But my goal as a parent, among other things, to make him be a good, honest, tax-paying member of society when he grows up, is that I don't want him to have the entitled attitude that Duke fans have.
Right.
But the problem is, since he has been old enough to be aware, UVA has basically been the best team in the ACC.
Right.
Yeah.
Won a national team.
Right.
So my concern is that he, if we don't make the Final Four for 3 straight years or don't make the Sweet 16 this coming year, that he's going to pull what these Duke fans do, these Cameron crazies, where they go, man, we stink, man. What, this was a horrible year. This is the worst. So it's a struggle as a parent
yeah.
to instill in your children that they've got to appreciate like the era in right. which
oh, yeah.
not become entitled.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter is I've had season tickets, I don't know, 7-8 years. I got on pretty early in the Tony Bennett era, which was a good idea. And so we've been going to games since then. This past season, the Syracuse game in January, I think, is the first time that she's seen UVA lose in person. Every game. I mean, they're so good at JPJ. Not only have they been good, but they're good at JPJ. And we've seen a lot of ACC games, and it was an awakening for her because she's just used to seeing them win.
Right. It's so weird.
You gotta make sure that they don't get turned into jerks. I don't know how you do it, but you just show them pictures. I show them on video before Nathan goes to sleep every night. I pull out my phone and I show him the 2011 ACC loss to Miami in the ACC tournament.
Yeah.
It's the last thing he sees before he goes to bed every night.
We were up by 9 and we
up
lost
by minute 10.
Yeah, up by 10, 30 seconds.
With like 40 some seconds to go.
I'll never forget. I would still have. Yeah.
If you hear a dog in the background, that's my girlfriend's dog.
I don't remember that. 2011, the tournament that happened?
2011. That was the worst. We were literally up 10 with less than a minute left. And
3 seconds.
Sounds like what we do to teams now,
Yeah. We do the reverse, so it kind of comes full circle. You should also have your son watch the Washington game in the Maui Invitational, where Washington hit, I think, 22 threes in the first half. Some ridiculous number. We were down by like 50.
But that, I remember during that in 2011, that was kind of like, for those of us who graduated in the era that we did, 95 with Phony as well. Like we for those of us who stuck with and watched every possible game that was on TV at the onset of streaming, we watched every single game, and my wife says, what are you doing to yourself? Like, why are you choosing to consume this content? And I'm like, when I was in school, I loved it. I loved the experience. I loved the players. I loved everything about it.
But you took part in halftime activities. You were definitely involved. You took part in, was that a halftime activity or before the game?
Yeah, so halftime activity. This is my favorite UVA basketball story, of course, because as a TV personality, I have a huge ego, and it puts me at the center of the story. So halftime at the first game of the year in the 94-95 season. Now, the first game of the year, 94-95 season, there probably wasn't a whole lot of people there. It was Coppin State or Savannah State or something.
Yeah, it wasn't Connecticut the year before, which is a different story. Yeah.
You guys might remember what game it was, but it was the first home game at U-Haul. And I was at breakfast that morning at Newcomb Hall with Matt Barrows, who was the sports editor of the University Journal. And he's like, Andrew, you know, I was a really good high school basketball player. One of those people that maybe could have walked on UVA and sat at the end of the bench. You know, I was a D3 recruit, basically. So I could play basketball. And there was a thing in the University Journal, Peace Frogs was giving away an all expenses trip for two, spring break trip to Cancun. And this is what all of the sorority girls and all the fraternity guys would buy this package. And they'd take you to the airport in Charlottesville. They charter a flight and take you to Cancun. Anyway, he's like, you need to sign up right now because they're going to do this all season. It's going to become a thing later and people are going to do it. But you might be one of the only people who cuts this out of the paper and takes it in today because it's the first one. So I drop my name into the thing. When you walk into U-Haul, there's a shoebox and put it in there. So they announce my name and another guy's name, halfway through the first half. And they asked me to come down. And so I had a chance to go out and shoot a blindfolded free throw after you miss that, because everybody misses a blindfolded free throw after they spin you around a bunch of times. You don't know where the basket is. Then you get to shoot from where it landed. Of course, you have no idea where the hoop is then as well. So I get escorted out first. Now, again, this is going to happen every single game through the entire season. The chances of somebody actually doing this are close to zero. So they put me out there. They blindfold me. I have no idea. I can't see anything. Spins me around a whole bunch. Now, the young lady with Virginia Athletics who took me out, I was like, I'd like to apologize in advance. I'm going to make this. She's like, yeah, whatever. You're not going to make this. Spun me around a bunch of times. And I'm sticking my hand out like this to figure out where the basket is. And I had a plant, my buddy Matt Breeks, who stood right behind the basket, and I was listening for his voice. And I was doing this, and he's like, yes, yes. You know, as I was perfectly lined up, he let me know when the crowd was screaming as well, and I knew exactly where straight was. So Matt Barrows that morning said, when you get picked, make sure you shoot it long. I've seen a lot of these. Whenever people shoot blindfolded free throws, they shoot it too short. I was like, but I'm gonna swish it. Like, I can do blindfolded, I can do eyes closed free throws. He's like, no, just trust me, shoot it long. So I take a deep breath, three dribbles, shoot it. They tell me later, bounced off the backboard, hits the front of the rim, goes way up in the air, drops right through. Crowd goes nuts. What's that?
You banked it?
Banked it, front of the rim, in the air, in. Now, I didn't.
That doesn't count with the technicality I have.
But my point is, it would have gone a swish if Matt Barrows would not have told me to shoot it long.
Right.
So the next morning, there's this picture in the paper.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that's great. University Journal.
That's awesome, dude.
Look at those hands, by the way. Chris will back me up. Those are basketball hands.
Yes, you look like either a coal miner from Eastern Ohio.
Okay, guys.
Or a meteorologist.
Now, check this out.
Oh, boy.
Football?
Look who took the picture.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Who is it? I don't see it.
Chris. A.K.A. Phony Bennett.
Phony Bennett, Cavalier also Daily.
It was me, and we
So the man who took this photo turns out to be Phony Bennett.
That's incredible.
I did not know this until I've posted on my work Facebook account about a year ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
I decided for whatever reason I'm going to post it. It was basketball season. And somebody in the comments is like, Phony Bennett took that picture? And I was like, what? Phony, I'll probably tell you, I called him screaming or whatever. And Nathan, this is your chance. Nathan, my son, who's 10, is now going to do a dramatic recreation of what I did while running through the house once I found out this information.
Let's go. Oh my God, I found my backside!
Oh, yeah. I like, love it.
And I'm like, Phony Bennett took this picture, Phony Bennett!
That's amazing.
I earned the respect of my kids and wife finally on that day a year ago.
Yeah, and we still may not know. I mean, I don't know if you'd ever look at the credit, but it was David Kazzy who was at the Cavalier Daily with me. He's a UVA and UVA law grad in Richmond now. So he followed you on Facebook. That's why he saw it. And
I had to go into the stands and I had to meet the Peace Frogs people. And I felt horrible because they had donated this thing and probably spent I don't know how much money to like promote this through the entire season. And I'm sure someone at Virginia Athletic said, don't worry, nobody's going to make this.
Right.
It's not happening. Right.
By the way, that story was great. How was spring break? Let's talk about the real stuff.
Yeah. Tell us who you took on spring break.
I brought my buddy, my best buddy Garth, with me. Got tons of crap from everybody for not bringing a young woman with me.
Oh, it's a sand of the beach. No, 100% right.
So if you go, you gotta bring a guy named Garth. I think that was probably
exactly
probably written in the rules somewhere.
Yeah.
That if you like, come, you can't bring.
We would have brought Bobby Bighouse Graves.
Bobby right. Bighouse, yeah, he would have been there. Big Red would have been great on spring break.
Oh, of course.
We had a lot to pick from.
Anyway,
Garth on spring break. I pictured Garth from Wayne's World.
Yeah.
How close are we?
And go party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. But it was fun. We had a great time. And it was like, it's just sort of this memory from college. Oh, no.
Pause, please.
Oh, here's a picture. My wife's bringing in a picture from us in spring break.
There you go.
Oh, very cool.
What else? Yeah, oh, yeah. And then we went around taking all kinds
wearing
of
a life jacket in the pool. That's
impressive. And see, get it? Eyes closed.
Oh. That's great. I love it.
So it looks like the student gym was not open when you attended UVA based on that. Picture, right? I don't know. You guys look great, man. That could be my, you and Garth in the pool with life jackets might be my new screensaver. If I can guess.
I'm going to guess Chris spent at least one spring break in Panama City Beach, Florida. TW probably went nuts one year and went to like Virginia Beach where it was like 50 degrees and hung out.
Absolutely.
We never got a spring break, so I'm just jealous no matter what you guys did.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to be basketball players, so don't be too jealous.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was taking pictures of the game. It wasn't to see you, Andrew. It was to see.
We were the crew that for 1 year, Ted Jeffrey's senior year, you know, we were trying to make UVA a place where you could stand and cheer the entire game in the student section, which you couldn't, right? If we would stand up and
right. Cheer, it's always a big fight.
Scream, sit down. We tried to make it a thing. We did our very best. We had Ted's board that we would put up on the like we'd get.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
that was us.
That was you. All right, now I know where you were.
That's cool.
And every time Ted Jeffries got a rebound, that's how things were. Like we were getting excited over Ted Jeffries rebounds.
Oh, that's awesome. And UVA got the win, 83-80 over ODU. You know,
that's what it was. ODU.
It was ODU. But that's one thing people think about Duke, that they stand all game, but they don't. I mean, the students do, but in the regular seats, if you stand up, you get yelled at. I was yelled at many, many times at Cameron in the old man section. But
I've only been to one game at Cameron. I was seated at the baseline, which was extra cramped. You got people's knees in your back.
And guys, you know the Purdue game? Have you ever, you remember that Purdue game when we had like that pass from this one guy to that other guy and he like made it at the last second to send it to overtime? Remember that game?
Vaguely.
So I would like to claim responsibility for that win, and here's how. So Kihei Clark attended a football game his first year, and all of these basketball players and Kihei Clark were walking up the stands, and I was at the basketball game and I was like, there's a bunch of basketball players. And all these guys were walking up, and it was all famous dudes. Plus this other guy, Kihei Clark, nobody had heard of. But at that point, I had gone full degenerate UVA, like stalker of recruits. And I knew who Kihei Clark was. So everyone's saying, hey, this, and mentioning all the famous guys' names. And nobody was saying anything to Kihei. And I was like, Kihei, you're going to have a great year, bud. I know you can do it. And he smiles and goes, gives me one of these, like, confident smile. Keeps walking.
Love it. You did have a great year. Yeah. You did have a great year.
He did.
In the 2016 ACC tournament in D.C., my wife and I went with our buddy Big Shannon. I was friends with two Shannons, Big and Little Shannon. But Big Shannon and I said, that's Mamadi Diakite. And he was just walking around the concourse at the Verizon Center. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The D.C. place. Yeah. And we went up. I went up to Mamadi and tried to sound, you know, like I was a real man. I was like, Mamadi. Mamadi, I can't wait to see you on the court. You're going to be great. And he was like, thank you very much. We got a picture with him. He had like a handling guy with him who was, you know, helping him out. But I turned to him and I said, Mamadi, I think it was in D.C. Anyway, let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story. So I said, Mama D, you are going to do great things at UVA. And he's like, okay, thank you. Boom. So there you go. I accept your your thank yous.
That's awesome. So
we got balls. So yeah, we got some tweets this week.
We do. Here, I'll share. Here's what we got this week. I mean, obviously the season right around the corner. First one, Hauser, Big Smooth, and your comment of we can't call Big Smooth without rest in peace, the real
RIP Chris Williams.
Hauser nets another preseason honor. Naismith Trophy brought to you by Jersey Mike's.
Watch it list. It's crazy to think that with the addition of Hauser, we could be starting five guys who can all reasonably probably shoot over 40% from three.
Yeah.
You know, the two short, you got Waldy, who's he was, I think, finished at 37% last year after a slow start, and Casey Marcel, who's going to find his stroke. Hauser, second year at Marquette, 49% from three.
Crazy.
That's amazing.
You guys, that was the great thing that you could see coming when you were watching Tony Bennett recruits. He wasn't getting these guys at the beginning. But if you're a recruit and you want to shoot and you can shoot, he's not recruiting guys who are really good defenders. He's recruiting. He knows that you have got to be able to have five threats on the court at all times. All right. And it didn't always happen, but now it's going to happen. It basically happened 2 years ago. You know, we won it all. It's going to be happening from now on. All of the guys on the court are going to be able to shoot, and college defenses cannot stop that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I mean,
go ahead, T-Dub.
I would say historically, there's always a guy that got in the rotation that you weren't sure could shoot, right? And then now it's like everyone comes in and is really solid. And I think that's a huge upgrade. I mean,
right? Do have we ever started five guys who are legitimate offensive threats? I mean, we came close in 19, probably when.
I mean, you could say Jack Salt
was in the tournament when he moved Mamadi to the starting lineup and he had found a stroke in the second half of the year. Everybody could shoot.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue.
I mean, it's such a game changer.
The next one, well done, guys. 100% NCAA graduation success rate. That's kind of cool. And then
– that's cool. I want to talk about that for 1 minute. Sure. Somebody that's close with our family is Bobby Knight, and Coach Knight, you know, when he was at Indiana, I don't know how long he was there. T-Dub, you can check it, but he was there for a long time. He had one guy that didn't graduate that stayed 4 years. He did have some people that left early, like an Isaiah Thomas. But that's an incredible record. And I'm so proud that UVA is like moving into that category. We've always been, we've always been high and on the higher end of that, but what a great recruiting tool for our staff to go into a kid's home and be able to tell that to someone's parents is really impressive. And I don't want to gloss over it because it doesn't happen often. So kudos to Tony and staff. It's really impressive.
And also all the people that go along with it, like the support staff, man.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah, there's a lot of people working behind the scenes to make sure that those guys can juggle all that.
Yep.
Bobby Knight, 29 years, Bobby Knight at Indiana.
Yeah, incredible.
I mean, we were talking about having TJ Graham come on the podcast and talk to us about how he works with the guys towards their degree and their education, but that might be a little boring.
It's not. I don't think it's boring, man.
I think it'd be cool. I mean, do the class checks and making sure the guys are on top of it and all the struggles. But he probably couldn't tell a lot of stories.
He basically does like what you have. That he tells them to take theater tech.
Yeah, I mean, some of the look. I knew it was real when I know as a freshman or as a first year. Fatigue was like right away. The schedule was so different. Really early morning runs. We had to be dressed and ready to go at 6 a.m. to run on the track. you'd leave there, you'd shower, you'd go to class, you'd roll right into practice. Then you'd have weightlifting. Then you'd eat dinner real quick. Then you'd have study hall. And it was a really full day, and we'd be really tired. And one day I had like an hour gap or something between classes, and I overslept. I didn't think it would be a big deal. Big class, they're not going to notice. Got a call from Carol that Coach Holland wasn't happy. I missed it, and I had to come see him. So, you know, I think that's, you know, one of the hallmarks of coming to Virginia. You got to go to class. Yeah. And I think it's still true to this day.
So what, did they just have someone, was there a manager or something in that class? Were they spot checked or was it?
They just had people checking. We never knew. It was sort of like CIA.
Right.
If you didn't go, you were in trouble. And that was the one class, you know, the one class that I missed my first year. I'll leave it at that.
I got more creative
later on in life, but
you had the crash test dummy with the Chris Havlicek wig that you just sat in the seat.
I started wearing a wig, and they thought I was a Burge triplet, not a Burge twin. So I got away with it from time to time.
But you're saying that the UVA players, when we tell them no, it's different. They're not cheating. They do go to class. They actually do go to class.
We do. We did.
I mean, I told you guys, I lived with Randy Neal and Sim Willis my second year, and those guys went to class more than I did. And I'll leave it at that. I mean, they were like, it completely changed my opinion of college athletes and probably made me think that, okay, it's like this at every school. But, you know, Certainly at UVA, it was, I mean, seeing those guys, they put in the work.
I'll tell you what, you never want to take a class with Anthony Oliver and Bryant Stith. I did it twice. And they sat in the front row and were 5 minutes early every class. And I'm not just saying this because you guys know what I think about Bryant and Anthony. And I was like, dude, like, can you, like, if I miss class, I'm in trouble. He's in the front row and he's not going to miss me. Bryant Stith. And I'm not going to, you know, he's going to tell somebody or not. But it's just, that stuff was real.
The guys that missed class, and there were very few of them, but the guys that missed class during my time there, and Fresh can attest to this, didn't end up lasting long at Virginia. They ended up transferring to somewhere else. Not because of that, but it was expected that you would be there. It was expected that you would get your homework done. And, you know, it wasn't always easy. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have all the technology that exists today. So it was harder. I remember getting faxes at away games of a quiz that I was supposed to take because I missed it because we had to travel, and taking the quiz and faxing it back. That happened. And
that's crazy.
You probably had your beeper on as well.
Did Mark Jerome join us? Is Mark here? Is he? He might be here.
We have. You'll remember John Crotty would spend bus rides and airplane rides reading his books. He was a history major.
Yeah. He had to read a lot, I remember.
Yeah. Crotty was always doing his stuff. Me and Hav were roommates on the road, and he made me watch Shark Week every time. So,
hey, do you guys think Mike Curtis has anything to do with the success of UVA basketball recently?
Huge part of it.
Yes.
So again, I accept your thanks because when I was a fourth year, I was Mike Curtis's RA.
Oh, very cool.
Really? Wow.
Tony, I am here.
What's happening,
thank you,
Mark?
Thank you for the roll call.
Coach Mark
Andrew, Jerome. And Andrew, yes, all the players give Mike Curtis a ton of credit, the recent players at least, give Mike Curtis a ton of credit for transforming their bodies and their games.
Yeah, I think all of us here. Oh, go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
They also return to Charlottesville as professional players and work out with him and his disciples. So I know Ty is there now, and one of the reasons why he comes back to Charlottesville, and Devin and London and AG was here, I guess, last week. Who am I missing? Dre. Justin. They all come back to work with Mike Curtis and his partners.
I mean, it's funny because, like, if you go back to when we were all in school, because we're all the same type years, our weight training coach was a football trainer, right? A football weight coach.
Yeah.
So me and Hav, and it's addictive because your arms are getting big, your abs are popping out, has nothing to do with basketball. So the genius of, you know, a Coach Bennett or other coaches around the country, a basketball guy who's, you know, got the degree and he understands the stuff to make it cater to what you're doing for basketball, you know? Like, I'm sitting there doing, like, crunches saying this is going to make my free throw better. Lie. Next row abs will pop out. So
what I want to know, you know, obviously Mike's done a great job with the guys. They all, the best kind of testimony to his work is that they all come back. What I want to know is if Mike is willing to work with podcasters to help improve their body. I think we could all use it. Maybe there's some voice training. Phony, you've got it. Andrew's got it. Something's got to happen because it's going the wrong way down here in Florida right now.
I need us to acknowledge. So all of us here tonight, I believe, are fathers, if I'm counting correctly. But speaking of fathers, Mark Jerome had a particularly a father moment that I think we can all relate to because we see this picture of him holding his newborn son while his other son, Kobe, is signing his letter of intent to play and getting news that his oldest son just got traded to the Oklahoma City
Monday.
NBA team. So
that's what
Monday, just a regular day for Mark. Tell me, Mark, I'm sure there's a lot that went on that day, but what was that day like for you?
So thanks for including me in your tweet, Phony. I really appreciate that. It made me feel really important. I was like, I made it, guys.
Did you get any followers out of it?
I don't know. I don't even know if I know how to find out if I got new followers, but no, it was an interesting day. It was unique. And I was talking to Cade Lemke, who former UVA guard and coach of Blue Ridge, current coach of Blue Ridge. And after Kobe signing, and we were having a long talk, and I get in the car, and then all of a sudden there's all these text messages and find out the ties that someone said, oh, I hope you like the winter in Oklahoma City. Like, what are you talking about? And then come to find out, they'd tied and traded. But one thing's for sure, I'll miss the winter weather in Phoenix. It's gorgeous.
No, he's not on the West Coast.
Oh, that was,
you know.
Oh man, it's nice. But it was an exciting day. It was an eventful day, and hopefully OKC doesn't get a plethora of guards, and Ty will have an opportunity. And
well, they traded Rubio last night, so that was cool.
Yeah, it looked like it lined up a little bit. So
they're gonna get at least one more guard, I gotta imagine, and maybe even two. But they have like 37 picks in the next. 37 four first round picks in the next like 3 years. It's insane.
I mean, that was a lot to give up for Phoenix. For how old is Chris Paul? 36?
I think so. I think he's 35, 36.
I mean, Chris Paul for Ty Jerome straight up is already that's already like, come on. All right. Ridiculous.
So Mark, how many people have you said, yeah, my son just got traded for Chris
exactly.
Paul?
Exactly. No, my son just got traded for a Hall of Famer. Future Chris Hall Paul. Of Famer, right?
Just a regular day.
Oh yeah. Jerome. Absolutely, also. Sure.
And Mark, tell us a little bit about I know Kobe's going to Cal Riverside. Tell us about that program and the coach and why I thought it was a good fit.
So the coach is a former Columbia assistant, really, really bright guy. And he has a real estate background and a finance background. And we've known him for quite some time. He was on a staff with the guys from who are now at Washington State, Kyle Smith.
And he's the head of the Asian Coaches Association.
That's right. And we went to the Asian Coaches party. Yeah. Well, in Minnesota, the Final Four. That was a fun party.
Yeah. Well, largest, most powerful organizations in sports.
It is up and coming, T-Dubs. Don't sell it short.
Absolutely.
So we've known him for a while. That system that Kyle Smith runs has led him to a ton of success everywhere he's been. He did really well at Columbia. He did well at San Francisco. And then now he's doing fairly well at Washington State. And it's only going to be a matter of time. So I think that coach is running some similar stuff, and he happened to really go after Kobe really hard. Kobe had about five or six offers, but this one was the most seemed to be the one that where he was coveted the most. Kobe felt really comfortable about it, And of course, you know, as they say, go where you're wanted.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty easy decision for Coleman. He's got a chance to play his first year.
And so where is it located?
It's about an hour from LA.
Okay. Yeah. So I was born in Arcadia, which is in LA County. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of that part of the country.
Which way from LA is that?
Come on, Dougie. I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that.
I love
you. I want to say east.
Guys, I'm
It's about an hour away from LA, Fresh.
You guys, I'm a meteorologist, so I can give you expert advice on this. It's toward the river.
Yeah.
Would you say it's on one side of the river?
No, Andrew, by the way, as a meteorologist, did you ever take the course at UVA beaches?
No.
Rivers?
Beaches, coasts, and rivers. We joke.
I took it.
Yeah, you know what it was called?
That shit was hard.
But what was it called? What did we environmental scientist majors call it? Do you know?
The Green New Deal.
No. Rocks for Jacks.
What is it called?
Rocks for Jacks.
That shit was not easy. I know is the West Coast is going into the ocean. That's over, and the East Coast is getting wider.
There you go. Right? Yeah, except for global warming and sea level rise. And, you know, Virginia's coastline is actually naturally.
It's naturally what?
It's naturally. People don't know this, and Phony should know this, but the East Coast of Virginia is actually naturally sinking because when the glaciers were pushing down on the continental crust up at the northern portion of
Virginia, say yes.
It lifted it up. Virginia goes up, but now those melted and it's bounding back. So it's sinking faster than anywhere else almost in the world.
Well, I think right here, like in Tidewater, wasn't there like a meteor strike that lowered it or something?
Yeah, well, the Chesapeake
Bay. We're already in a basin or something.
Basically formed by the meteorite that most researchers think took out the dinosaurs.
Okay.
Wow. So
nice.
Virginia wins the national title. UVA wins it all and then sinks into the ocean. Perfect. I was going to ask Phony about I saw your tweet about if UVA gets a pick six, what happens? Walk us through that. What was that?
Oh, goodness. So I made a deal the first game of the season because apparently we have a lot of games on the ACC network. And so the first game of the season, I decided because of how terrible these ACC network commercials are, and I guess they're very inexpensive, which contributes to their terribleness, that if we got an interception for a touchdown, which I later amended to any kind of turnover for a touchdown, I would buy the next made-for-TV product. Because not every commercial on the ACC network is for a crappy product, but a lot of them are. There's a lot of the awful stuff there. And so I'd made that deal, I'd repeated it, and we've had, I guess all our games have been on the ACC network. So Noah Taylor, I believe, early on in the Louisville game, gets a pick six, takes it to the house, and I was excited. So I had made this deal that if that happened, if we got one of those, I would buy one of whatever the next crappy product they advertised was, and I will do a review of it, which I assume is going to be a video review. I hadn't really expanded upon it because I wasn't certain it happened. So the next commercial, damn you, Stackmaster, was for Stackmaster pans, which is this really crappy looking pot and pan set, and I had no need pots and pans, and I have no room for a new set of pots and pans. And so I wasn't going to do that, but I don't want people thinking, oh, well, he's just trying to cheap out, because it was $160 set of pots and pans, and you can get better for even that price. So I ended up getting the next thing, and I told folks on Twitter, I said, look, if you know, whatever I get, the difference between that and the price of the Stackmaster pans, I'll donate to the VAF, which is exactly what I did. I ended up ordering the Triverse light bulb, which is an LED light bulb that has fins or something that are adjustable. It's a $30 light bulb. So you think, okay, $30 is cheap. It's a $30 light bulb. And I donated the other $130 to the VAF. So I paid for a COVID test. I'm pretty excited. I don't want any thanks. I don't want applause.
Okay, how good is the light bulb?
I don't have it yet. I got the shipment notification yesterday, but when I checked tracking, they still haven't received it. So yeah, a label has been generated essentially, which is another rant of mine getting, don't tell me you've shipped it if you've only generated a label. You haven't shipped anything at that point. Hey, folks, once you get it into the hands of the person that's going to carry it to me, that's when you've shipped it.
But I tweeted during the Clemson game that UVA went through Clemson's defense like a hot spurtle through porridge. The spurtle commercial is also outstanding.
I got it.
So what's the plan now? Does this continue? Does this the?
I mean, yeah, I think unless something really changes, I think I'm willing to continue this because I'm hoping I'll have to buy a Spurtle or else the what is it, the tack shaver, the one the guy uses like in a community pool.
They
love that guy. Just whiskers floating everywhere. Someone's got to clean that out of the skimmer. I'm hoping to get that. I don't know that I'll take a video of myself shaving underwater, but I think it would be fun. The Spurtle, it's a spatula that looks kind of like a cricket bat. I think I'd find that useful. I like to cook.
Lots of things to do with that.
And spatulas here, for the record, which I'm astounded by.
What's that?
What's the legal limit on spatulas per household?
Three? I don't know. I've got a lot of them, a lot because of bamboo that became a popular material, and I've got so many different bamboo spatulas. But I love it because
me. I'm not the buyer of it. At least 10. I find them randomly in drawers.
Well, you could get rid of all 10 spatulas and replace it with one Spurtle.
It's a Spurtle. The oatmeal. I make oatmeal.
I lose money again. 11 times.
I make my oatmeal in my rice cooker. It's got a porridge setting, so I can put on a porridge setting and make it. So I stir my oatmeal with a rice paddle. But the Spurtle is designed, I guess, originally as an oatmeal stirring implement. But if you Google the Spurtle, it looks nothing like what they're selling. The original Spurtle was like round and kind of tapered. This, again, it looks like a miniature cricket bat. So I think they're being very liberal with the use of the term Spurtle.
We actually have a Spurtle.
You do?
My wife's mom was born in Scotland. I have a Spurtle right over there, real one.
Is it a more realistic? Is it like round and tapered? Oh, Andrew's going to show us his Spurtle.
Hey!
Listeners at home, you have no idea what you're missing. Not having video.
The visual of this. Well, maybe we're going to have to post this.
This is what a real Spurtle.
Locker room access first. We're going to get to see Andrew Frieden's Spurtle. Yeah, see, that's exactly.
So what do you do with this? What is a Spurtle again?
Do you think porridge stirs itself?
Yeah, you stir porridge with it.
I mean, we invented Asian. We Chinese people invented porridge. We use chopsticks, so makes sense.
It's like a really fat chopstick.
Yeah, makes total sense now that why I don't have one of those.
I bought a new set of cooking chopsticks last week, T-Dub.
Oh, you're nice.
Proud of me. You know, I love using them because they're giant. But I've got a
nice when it comes to this podcast, they say Phony Bennett is the Spurtle that stirs the porridge.
Right.
That's right. It's an expression that is certain to catch on.
That's awesome. The next,
so I'll be doing I guess a YouTube video. I'll be a YouTube guy, like, hey everyone, right. It's Phony. It's time for Phony review some crap. So
yeah, feel free to have them shout out us and sponsor one of our podcasts.
Right, I'm gonna keep tweeting Triburst and Spurtle and stuff, and I hopefully somebody's checking their social media and says, you know what. This is something that looks like we can get to sponsor us really cheaply.
In summer, you never bought the pots and pans. You bought the Spurtle.
I bought the Triburst light. So my light, I'm not excited. It's a light bulb, but I'm hoping that I'll have to buy a Spurtle or a tack shaver.
We debated.
We have now increased the usage of the word Spurtle by 2,500% over the last 10 years.
The oatmeal I buy Bob's Red Mill steel cut oats, and it actually says the golden Spurtle on the front because it won the Golden Spurtle award.
Oh, wow.
For best oatmeal.
Best porridge in the world gets the Golden Spurtle award.
Incredible.
All right.
But again, an actual Spurtle, as Andrew demonstrated. Thank you, Andrew, for showing us your Spurtle. An actual Spurtle looks nothing like what they're selling on the ACC network.
Incredible.
That's a damn fine Spurtle, Andrew.
So I want to know the math on this ad. Like, how many Spurtles are they selling? What's the ROI on the Spurtle ad? Because I can't imagine.
I work at a commercial television station, NBC 12 in Richmond, and I've talked to the salespeople about ad rates. Uh-huh. And I would tell you that the ad rates for a commercial on the ACC network are remarkably low.
All right, maybe Locker Room Access should do an ad.
I mean, somebody said like $500 or something.
Why not? Yeah, I mean, I think it may be less than that.
Yeah, and that's I've seen varying ranges from like 250 to 500, which makes me wonder why we are not advertising.
I feel like you guys should do one, and all you have to do is one, and then make it viral from there.
Yeah, who do we? I'll reach out. I'll see.
I'll loan you my Spurtle for $50.
Spurtle. I mean, obviously, we're gonna have a Locker Maxis Spurtle because clearly we need more of those.
What in the world would our ad be? That's
the best part. Yeah,
and you know who needs to be our spokesperson? There's only one name, and his name is Leaf.
Right.
Leaf, you got a gig, dude. I don't know what you do right
Spurtle.
Now.
Spurtle.
I don't know what you do now, but you are a Spurtle dude. Spurtle and you can spokesman. Be our guy.
The next thing, that's a tough topic to switch on off Spurtles, but we got to do it. The next thing I was going to talk about is the podcast we had. Doug Doughty, why did he ask Ty Jerome the infamous question, did you know, or were you aware a 16 had never beat a one in that press conference? And on our forum, this spurred, I mean, we literally got hate mail for doing this podcast. Like, people were so upset.
People are still mad about that Doug question. And
people were so upset, I guess, because they thought we were apologizing for him or too nice to him, and Mark was too nice to him.
I asked Mark about it back during the NBA 2K tournament, and I mean he seemed over it. He explained it, and you know, we as fans I think are probably much more pissed about it than Mark is, than Ty still is. I mean, look, Ty's answer was beautiful and he remained calm, but I don't think any of us doubted what he was feeling right at that moment.
And that was, yeah, I still, his answer didn't make any sense to me. We talked about it on the podcast, it didn't make any sense, but at this point.
And so what was his answer for people that haven't heard that? What was
so he's kind of changed it up, and he said, oh, I had to look it up before, I didn't know if a 64 seed had never beat a one seed. And we were like, 64 seed there, first off, like, I mean, obviously you knew 16 had never beat a one, so how would a 64 had ever beaten a one? But yeah, all of it was just bizarre. But he just said, oh, I had to look it up right before. So,
but he also had all his papers out the whole time too.
Yeah, so he's like, he was like fumbling through all, he had every media guide ready for this podcast, so he was looking up stuff during it, and like, well, you know, we came to the conclusion that maybe he's just really absent-minded and didn't know, and he had to look it up, even though someone in our forum posted out he just wrote an article the year before that had the 16 and never beat a one seed in his article. Well, but
the life or the thing of a sports writer, I think it's very, it's, I'm not really sure what it entails.
Yeah.
And if you're, if it's like almost like if you're a blogger or a Twitter person, what's your personality like outside of it? Because all you're doing is all this information and trying to get stories out, et cetera, et cetera. So
it's in my mind, like, I don't see it as malicious. I just think of it as an incredibly lazy way to say, talk about the fact that you just became the first one seed to lose to a 16 yep. seed.
Yeah.
Dead right. It's gotcha media, right? You see it and you hear about it. It was a lazy way to do it. But
makes sense given what we know of him.
And talk about questions are already lazy.
So here's the thing for me. So Doug Doughty has interviewed Ty how many times at that point?
Every game.
Right. So if you're a Utah reporter from the AP, whatever, okay, I get it. How does a local guy come at him like, you know?
Yeah, it really didn't make it. Ooh, what happened there?
Somebody went off.
It definitely wasn't me as a member of the media. I've been keeping
got a guest
in this part of
there. We go,
Andrew. I brought somebody in for you, big boy.
What's up, Tim? Oh, shut up! Hey, Ted.
Yes, sir.
I graduated in 95. I'm a big star in Richmond, Virginia. Just trust me on this.
He is, Ted.
When me and my boys would go watch the games senior year, we put up for several of the home games, probably half of them, a big piece of poster board hanging over one of the exit zones, you know, the big pieces of concrete, there was Ted's board. Did you ever see Ted's board?
I can't say that I did, Andrew. I'm probably the poorer for it, so I apologize in advance.
Just lie, TJ. Yes, you saw it.
Hold on. Can we edit this?
Absolutely.
Of course I saw it. Of course I saw it, Andrew. It was hanging right over the top of the exit signs as we went in and out of the arena.
We would put a big one up, you know, like keeping track every time you got a rebound. And if you got double digits, we'd go absolutely nuts.
That's
so thank
awesome.
You for boxing out and being a good example for all of the post players out there.
There were a couple of good games. I'll go back to NC State at home, 17 rebounds, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah.
So you probably needed a second board for that one.
Ted, when you got to 13, I passed out. They woke me up. You're up to 16. I couldn't believe it.
Hey, TJ, that was the game you and I combined for 17 rebounds.
Ted was getting the rebounds, and Chris was busy getting phone numbers.
Have you got out to a blazing start, and then I just came up and picked up the slack.
It was a team effort.
I just want our listeners to understand like how important this podcast is. We just made a little boy's dream come true. Got to meet his hero, Ted Jeffries.
I love it.
It's the special moments like this that make it all worthwhile.
You know, we picked you as our favorite because you were working the hardest, and we appreciate that. We
blue collar.
You know, in our intramural championship co-ed basketball team, we outworked the opponents just like you did.
Thank you, sir. And I think that's where my jersey is retired up at Slaughter. It did not make it into New York, but I do believe it's at Slaughter.
Mine's retired at the Dell, last I checked.
Hey, Andrew, you got to realize Ted was busy getting rebounds. He wasn't looking around the arena for your sign, but I had a lot of time to look around the arena, and I saw that thing all the time. So
Thank you, sir.
With you.
I appreciate it, bud.
Ted, we were just talking about the season coming up here. Chiming in. What are you plug your podcast too. You guys had a big guest this week, but
yeah, right.
Yeah. So
tell the fans about that.
Step to the Mic podcast, STEP, the number 2, the Mic podcast. We had a great show with Jay Billis, the one and only Jay Billis. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard for this august body of gentlemen to lend any credence to a Duke graduate, but let's face it, he's one of the most well-respected guys and analysts right now. So he was fortunate enough, I mean, we were fortunate enough to get him on the show. We had a great conversation about, images and likeness, the new rules coming up with that, what's happening in the draft. We talked about his early days at Duke and how his class helped put Coach K on the map. Podcast is going well. We're hopeful to get a couple of more power hitters to check us out. We're on most of your social media sites, Podbean, YouTube, and so on and so forth. Obviously, Twitter. So, Twitter, Facebook.
For UVA fans, the Tony Bennett one was great. So make sure you tune into that one. You had a bunch of great guests on.
I'm going to tell you my favorite so far, and I listen to all of TJ's. Was Mike Bray.
Yeah. Bray gave you.
I learned so much stuff, but he's a really, really cool speaker, talker,
or
whatever you call it.
I wish we could have really gotten into it with Bray because Bray coached us in high school.
Yeah.
And before he departed for Duke, and I believe he's the last non-Duke guy to coach there at Duke University. So Bray has always been one of the best, his sharp basketball mind, and just all around, just good guy, man. So he gives you a lot of the insight on how I ended up at UVA.
Yeah.
So go back and check that one out. He does great intel on how Morgan Wooten, my high school coach, sold Terry Holland on I mean, great story in there. It'll make you laugh too.
His love for you was special. Like,
oh,
you know,
that the brotherhood, man, is, you know, it's you know, that was the best decision. That's the you talk about ROI. That's the return on our investment, that brotherhood that we share, not just as basketball players and basketball alumni, but just as, you know.
And it's funny, he mentioned something about your basketball skill that I always took for granted.
What's that?
No, which I never thought about, because I just knew you that way since 1989. You were the best at getting the ball out of the basket and go. You ever think about that? How quick TJ got it out, one foot out of bounds, other one in, and go.
I've never thought about it until right now, but I have a vision of him doing it all the time and getting that ball out and rolling up the floor. There's a lot of skills that get overlooked in basketball. Outlet passes, rebounding, boxing out, you know, beyond just scoring, shooting threes, dunking. And TJ had all of those.
Exactly.
So what?
Well, gosh, you know, you guys are just heaping on the accolades of that. I'm a little clumped right now.
Ted, me and my friends had a poster board every time you got the ball out of the net and threw it in really quick.
I definitely saw that one, Andrew. Yeah. I remember that one.
We drew it.
Do you remember me pointing at you to make sure that you wrote that one down?
Another one.
That's another one, Drew. Hook me up.
I knew we had that going, Ted. We had a connection.
Hey, did you guys ever see the Stop Teddy Time poster board?
Yeah.
Stop Teddy Time? Oh, man, that's Stop great. Stop Teddy Time. TV Teddy.
That was probably us, too.
For all you MC Hammer, all you MC Hammer fans that are out there that recognize that connection.
Oh, I Stop Period Teddy Time.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I thought it was like Stop Teddy Time. Like, who was that? Duke fans? Did they...
Stop! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Stop. TJ, how long have you been going with the Duck Dynasty thing?
The Duck Dynasty, you know, it's the COVID thing. Just letting it ride, man. I always wanted to know how far would it go. And I think I think I've reached my limit. Like, I'm jealous. I don't know if you guys have seen that luscious a mane that Corey Alexander is sporting these days, but he is truly he's a black hillbilly at this point. He really is.
I told him I thought he looked like a young Cornel West.
Yeah,
there's a sophistication to it.
His grows out, not down.
Yeah. I can't get that. Like, I comb this thing, you know, and I get a couple of stray hairs and it just looks unruly. And, you know, I don't do unruly, but, you know, it won't go further than where it is right now. Now, give me another year in hibernation.
Corey wants you to believe that that just grew out, but he's trimming that thing like a bonsai tree on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He's got me. Mr. Miyagi's coming in on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Wax on, wax
trim that thing up.
So, good news is I don't think he listens to this show, so.
Yeah. So Ted, while we got you on, what are your thoughts for this season coming up for UVA?
Well, I am hopeful that we have a season. Just because I just don't know how realistic it is going to be for us to finish a season, considering, you know, most colleges and universities don't have the resources to create a bubble or to protect guys against getting COVID. You know what I mean? And unlike football, where you have 60 guys on the team, if you get two or three guys on a basketball team COVID, that pretty much, and you got to shut down for, you know, 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever the case, that could ruin your season. But aside from all that, notwithstanding, I mean, I like the number four seed, number one seed in the ACC. I think Tony Bennett is, you know, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, is one of the greatest minds in our game right now. And we've got a lot of young talent that hopefully can catch on. And we've got some veteranage out there that's going to help us get through. You know, I want to see us get over the Michigan State hump. So I want to see that game. You know, I hope they get off to a good start up in the up in Mohegan Sun, up in Connecticut. So, you know.
In Michigan State, a lot of people want to talk about UVA and Michigan State, but Tony Bennett, the one-time Green Bay, made the NCAA tournament. They faced Michigan State and lost. So that Michigan State streak runs.
And his dad lost to him in Wisconsin. Final Four, they lost to Michigan State.
Right.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, I would love to see us get over that hump, dude.
Yeah, that'll be a game.
Looking at last night's draft, you know, Cassius Winston's gone. They had the other kid that went. I don't know if they had three Tillman. Go.
Yeah.
But you know, the cupboard is rarely ever bare at Michigan State.
Yeah.
Teams that might not be always, you know, top notch at, you know, top of their conference, but we all know when it comes down to tournament time and tournament play, that's what they hang their hat on. And they definitely get tournament ready. So we'll catch them before that. And hopefully we're ready. So,
January, March.
Andrew,
are we going to talk about the draft last night, or are we just going to go over injustice?
Yeah, let's talk about the draft. Mom, what happened? Mamadi, I thought he was going to get a late second round pick, but didn't happen.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best players remaining don't get drafted because agents will tell the teams don't pick him.
Right.
You know, 50th, 51, 52, because he's got a deal coming with another team that makes more sense.
Right.
Which could have happened. And clearly Mamadi's a heck of a lot better than the last several picks in that draft.
Absolutely.
Right. So I got to believe that his agent.
You think, Mark, something good's going to happen in the next few days for him?
I didn't hear that. What was that, Andrew?
You think something good's going to happen in the next few days for Mamadi?
I think he'll sign somewhere. He'll sign a training camp deal with somebody. Unfortunately, there's no summer league this year.
Right.
And training camp is 10 days. You have 10 days to prove yourself. That's not a lot of time. Right. 10 days before they start scrimmaging or playing extra
games. Yeah, so you're probably talking about a solid season in the G League for him.
But isn't there no G League this year?
Is there no
I G think League? There is. I think there was a – I think
Is there a G League bubble? I mean,
I'm not sure. I've heard things from friends that know G League. I'm not even close to know. So
I thought I saw some. Okay, I'm not sure.
I didn't get my invite. That's
yeah.
But the other thing is, so if you're Mamadi and you're presented with, if there is a G League, or if you're a two way player, if they have two ways, if there's no G League, I don't know, or do you go overseas?
Right.
What do you do? Right. And if you look up his agent and who all the players his agent has, they're almost all overseas players.
Interesting.
Yeah. Right. I talked to his coach Cade today. I talked to his high school coach today.
Yeah.
And he hadn't heard anything yet about a contract.
Well, there have been some big time undrafted players that have done really well. I mean, I'll name a few: Fred Van Vliet, Ben Wallace, Joe Ingles, Alex Caruso, Bruce Bowen, Jeremy Lin, all undrafted. John Starks.
Come on, Mama. We're speaking for the idiot, uneducated fan out there. You know, we're rooting for Mamadi in just a huge way, and hope that he can, at the very least, make a good living playing the sport that he loves. I mean, he was a joy to watch, and I can't imagine anybody at his size more athletic, at least, you know, who got drafted last night.
I wish he'd gotten a chance to show himself in the postseason last year.
Yeah.
I think there's two – if you look at the draft, I think there's two, you know, sort of great tragedies of the draft. One is that Mamadi did not get drafted. Great player, great defensive ability, athletic, size, speed, everything you want, and he'll catch on. The second thing is that we didn't get to actually see the outfits that a lot of the draftees were wearing, like in a normal scenario. Always the highlight for me. The gold medal winner, Jalen Rose, when he was drafted with his red pinstripe, that will always be memorable. But I just miss the pageantry of the draft. It's something I look forward to every year. And man, it was not the same last night.
Yeah, however, Chris, I'm married to a 40-something woman,
who would not ever choose to watch the NBA draft. And we decided to watch some of it because we were hoping that Mamadi would get picked. And I was flabbergasted at how enthralled with the draft last night she was, more than any other nights, because you got to see in these players and families' homes and apartments, and you got to see maybe a little bit more of their family. Thanks, Doug, for showing us the
the speaking of family.
You got to see more of the family, and almost being in their homes was sort of a more intimate and sort of emotional experience. And she never would have watched them if it was all the families in like Barclays Center or whatever.
So was what it, a shallow person you married. That's the worst thing I've ever heard, Andrew.
By the way, my favorite outfit last night. Who's the first pick from Georgia? The Georgia kid?
Edwards.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards.
He looked like the fourth member of Migos.
The prize winner was Tyrese Halliburton out of Iowa State.
No doubt.
I don't remember.
He had the floral pattern. It was a.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Was this periwinkle? And periwinkle and I want to say lavender. It was a lovely effervescent color. That
it was an eye test. It was an eye test. Definitely, if you're colorblind.
Someone said it looked like something out of the Civil War.
I just love that these guys are pushing the limits further and further every year. Like somebody's going to show up in the Bjork swan dress one of these days and be like, yeah, finally.
Hey. When Hav gets drafted, he will definitely be in a Speedo and a robe.
Yes. He's gonna come in the birthday suit. He's gonna push the limit.
First person.
It's gonna have to be on cable.
Yeah.
Ray tan, the whole thing.
Completely naked. Are you gonna hug Adam Silver?
He already has. Yeah.
There will be a lot of baby oil too, so he's going to be laughing.
Shiny.
Hey, Andrew, did your wife cry when some of the players cried, and their family cried?
Get emotional. I mean, and also my son, who's 10 years old, you know, plays a little basketball. He's not like a Jerome kid, but he plays, and he's like, he was into it, and the emotion of it is like, you know, we're talking about how basically these kids, this is a lifelong dream, and
right,
and the amount of time and effort, and you know this, Mark, probably more than any, the amount of time and support and love and forgiveness and pain that you go through as a parent of one of these elite athletes is just, you know, it was like better than, you know, scripted TV, I would say. And she got into it.
Well, the Rachel Dolezal Award went to the kid's mom from Arizona.
Which one?
Whose family?
What?
They have an African, you know, the kid has an African last name, his mom is white, and she had the full kente cloth. Oh my gosh, she has been on everybody's meme today. It has been delightful to listen to how they are.
She was a winner.
Dolezal Award.
She was the winning mom, no doubt about it. And she did it with such grace and elegance, and the real emotion that she had for her son. It was impressive. She was that was the Black Lives Matter Woman of the Year.
who's the player?
I can't find a picture. I was just looking. I thought it was a girlfriend.
The kid, Najee, like that from Arizona. He was a early second round, mid second round pick, and they were just hanging around for dear life. The whole family looked like they were from McDowell's and
Oglo
coming to America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had the whole outfit on, and man, it was priceless. So there she is. There she is.
Straight out of Zamunda.
Yeah. The one thing you got to see is when she's got her hands up in elation, just air fist pumping and everything. That is the best.
Oh man.
Incredible. Yeah.
Hey, so Mark, let me ask you, how's Ty feeling about the trade and the move over to OKC?
Wait, let me have to stop laughing first.
Hey, Ted, we covered that already, and you also missed when I was a huge winner and U-Haul from the free throw line, but you're going to have to listen to the podcast Andrew, later.
I was out back stretching, getting a few rebounds. Getting some rebounds.
TJ, quickly, he's feeling good. He's excited about potential opportunities. We're all hoping they don't take too many other guards in any types of trades or whatever, free agency.
Well, you know, the way he's a marksman from beyond three, and he's got good size. He's already been there for a year. I'm wishing him well. And you know, I hope he sticks. That's for sure. He's deserving of it.
Appreciate that.
That's great that they traded. I was so happy when I saw Rubio. And that's a weird thing to say, but like Rubio's gone. That's like pretty cool. Put him in the spotlight at least for a little bit. He just needs an opportunity. That's all everyone's asking for, right? Just to get in there and see what he can do. And then,
right. I don't think anyone was happy with how they used him in Phoenix. So
yeah, it made no sense.
Let's go back for a second. Did we mention John Crotty as an undrafted veteran player? A guy who did not get drafted, but came.
That's another one. UVA guy.
John was undrafted.
Yeah, Crotty went to, he was in the, not even a CBA, it was a new developmental league.
USBL.
That just started.
That's right.
That was down in, like, he was in, like, Greenville, South Carolina.
Yep.
And he, what was he, a 10, 12 year journeyman?
Yeah, 12 years in the league.
So hey, you just got to stick around long enough, man, to get that moment, and then shine. And the great thing is that we've got enough guys in the NBA from UVA as of late that are making a mark.
Right.
And that speaks well for the younger guys that are there because they know they've been tested, they know they know how to play the game the right way. So they just got to keep hanging around, keep sticking with it. And I think they're all get several years in the league, get that big check like Malcolm Brogdon and
Joe Harris.
Hang around for
Joe Harris.
Oh, Joe's about to.
Joe's sitting there right now waiting on a. Paid. Yes, he's getting ready to get a bag. Sure. He's getting ready to get a bag.
He's getting ready to get a baby giraffe coming in the mail.
Going to be very disappointed if soon we don't see the Joe Harris weight room at JPJ or Joe Harris practice gym. No pressure, Joe.
Would you guys say it's harder to find the right fit in the NBA than it is to even make the NBA? Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is, T-Dubs. I mean, I think it's so hard to make the NBA. It's harder, I think, to stick.
Yeah.
Right. And then I heard numbers last night of people drafting the second round. I think it's like 70% if you're drafted after number 40 have a chance, and after 50 it's like 85% or 15% you have a chance of making it and sticking around. Yeah. And that includes guys that might play a couple of minutes.
That's crazy.
Right? 70% of the guys who get drafted do not make it in the second round.
Justin says there's 450 players. Is that right?
Sounds right.
In the league?
Yeah, that's what he tweeted to be one of the 450.
Let's go off the globe. 450 divided by, or 7 billion divided by 40. Like right. 0000000. Go on. Like it's impossible.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I would have stuck, but I feel like it was really hard to make the NBA.
Right.
Like, I feel like it was harder to make it, for me, at least personally.
for you personally.
Well, I've been eligible for the draft since 1993. I'm like, nah, it's not the right situation.
Maybe you and Hav are a package deal. So you got to figure out what you're going to wear while Hav's dressed in his bikini.
Oh, imagine.
I'm retired. Sorry, I'm retired. Vito. Hey, Andrew, what? Give us a little. So you're a meteorologist / weatherman.
Mm-hmm.
What is the NBA of weathermen? Well, right? Is that Al Roker? Is that Al?
Al Roker's like your Jordan, right? He's your Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You got your Jim Cantore.
Yeah.
Who's kind of like LeBron.
What about the Weather Channel? How do you guys feel about the Weather Channel? Is that?
Well, so a lot of people say, hey, you should go to the Weather Channel, but like there, you can make a pretty good living. You know, I'm not going to become, super rich or anything, but I can make a good living and have a lot of impact locally.
Right.
So you're on the Weather Channel, you can kind of, you can be moved in and out, but you can form a bond with a community and you can feel like you make a difference in a community. I've been here a long time. I've been here for 20 years, but I feel like I'm a part of the community, and I'm making a difference at least. And when you're at the Weather Channel, I don't think it's that good of a, it doesn't feel quite the same. Now, that being said, and also I don't think that unless you're a Jim Cantore, that they make huge amounts of money, but you go to places like New York, you know, and if you're Al Roker or someone like that, you know, you turn yourself into a marquee talent, you can do great.
What about,
yeah, but you have the benefit right now, Andrew.
Do you guys do any scouting? Like, are you scouting your competition? Like, are you looking around at the guy? There's a guy down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they have a segment called Ask Ed. He is as popular a weatherman for a regional or local channel that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, people. So
are you checking out his reels and rewinding the tape and seeing what he does?
Well, Ted, a lot of people in Myrtle Beach media and social media down there like to say that Ed is the Andrew Frieden of Myrtle Beach.
Okay. I like it. Fair enough. I like it.
So well, that's
the thing, Andrew. People are excited to meet you in Richmond. Like, people are like, Andrew Frieden. I know who Andrew is. Jim Cantore. If Jim Cantore shows up in your town, you're screwed. Nobody is happy to see Jim Cantore.
Cantore comes to your town, you got something.
Yeah, you're putting plywood on your windows, and you got.
Yeah, so, if I show up somewhere outdoors, you know it's not going to rain and it's going to be a nice day.
Right.
Do is go out somewhere and have it pour rain, and then someone be like, "Oh, you idiot, you don't even know."
What about so you,
Andrew? Andrew, here's the question that all of our listeners really want to know, and it's I think the definitive question to a weatherman. Have you ever faked leaning into a gale force wind, pretending it was, you know, blowing 90 and it was blowing 15? Have you done that?
No, because typically when stuff's bad, they put me in the studio. But in defense of the viral videos you see of forecasters and reporters out leaning into it, they're not necessarily overdoing it, but they're making 100% sure that they don't go down and look like an idiot and go viral. So although they're braced and leaning in and you're thinking, oh my gosh, they're overdoing it. In my opinion, as I watch that and I go, that guy, that gal
doesn't want to fall,
go down on camera. So it's not as bad as it looks when you're like, oh, they're overdoing it, because the person walking nonchalantly in the background, if they fall, nobody knows who they are, nobody cares. But if the on-camera meteorologist reporter goes down, it's infamy.
Yeah, sure. All right. Fair.
Another.
So what was the near death experience that you had as a weatherman out in the thick of it, where you had to dodge a stop sign?
That stop sign was digital. By the way, my son just came and he's like, "Is that Ty Jerome's dad?"
There you go.
There he is.
There he is.
How are you?
It's the real.
And all of his splendor.
Happens to have a whole bunch of trophies behind him. How about that?
He's got my 11 jersey up in the back, by the way.
Right, that's Doug Smith right there. In honor of Doug Smith, that jersey.
Hey, is he the keeper of the Ted Jeffries board? Yeah. Where's that hanging out?
No, that's at the Pi Fi house, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
I forget what the question was, but anyway.
So near death experience where you had to dodge the stop sign, or you know, the bird that could not get his flight together and just was heading your way. Did you have that experience?
I wish I had something that exciting, but when stuff happens, they basically want me in the studio. So we had a couple times had a tornado outbreak and tornadoes in Richmond, and we were thinking about bailing out and heading into the bunker. But no, I wish I had an exciting story. One time I ran out of bronzer.
Oh. Wow, that's devastating.
I mean, that
you said, you said it, not me, because it's fairly obvious.
Do you do your own makeup?
It seems to me, as an actual meteorologist, you're more valuable in the studio, where you can look at maps and interpret stand there and be
like
it's windy.
Come on in. Andrew.
Yeah, Phony, have the – Ted's looking at my bald head thinking that we both look good. Phony,
you make it look so much better.
Thanks. We send the reporters out, and we try to stay in the studio because we want to be where the data is. If we had a bigger
– Right. You need to be able to interpret that. I mean, that's what – That's what you bring to the table. I mean, I could stand outside and show people that it's windy,
and you'd look great doing it.
So, do you get bribes from local grocery stores when it's, you know, they're like, "Hey, why don't you? We got a lot of bread in the house right now. Can you go ahead and do a storm forecast for us?
Yeah,
sell out some bread."
TW, that happens all the time. Sadly, the checks have stopped coming in because there's no bread and toilet paper in the store.
Right. COVID's really hurt your side hustle.
It's really caught up. It's really cut out my side hustle.
Another question I had was like, what about you as a sports fan looking down at your newscaster, the sportscaster there? Was there any critiquing of his calling of sports? Are you guys?
Sometimes, like, you know, we'll have a UVA, like a game that's on the road that doesn't end until, you know, midnight or 12:30, and it doesn't make it into the morning newscast. And I'll politely be like, you know, this was a big one. You might want to, and they'll kind of listen to me and put stuff in. But it's been interesting because UVA has been so, you know, successful lately that it's not really huge news. Hey, we went on the road and beat Wake Forest. Okay, supposed to. And it's a great, as a fan, to not feel like we got to come on. I have to like pump it up. I mean, they already are so, you know, visible, yeah, and, you know, almost a hated juggernaut. They're so good now that it's like, they're not the plucky underdog that they were back in the day when I'd have to be like, come on, can we put some UVA basketball on this?
How do you work in the UVA basketball references into the weather? Are there parts of the.
Ooh, I need to start. I'm seeing temperatures tomorrow, guys, are going to rebound like Ted Jefferson.
Yeah. I like it.
I want to know what's your
I think you need to drop that. You need to drop that down tomorrow, Andrew, on the show. Yeah. You might get fired, but I'm with you in spirit. Yeah.
I wouldn't get fired. I'm good. I'll try it on next time. There's a really big, you know, jump up. Temperatures are going to jump up like Justin Anderson today.
I like it.
Yeah.
Or any temperature, you just match a jersey number from a player, you know. Ooh. You know,
50 degrees. All the way down, yeah, to Ty Jerome tonight. Bundle, yeah, up, kids.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
That's Doug Smith. No, with Colin. Right. Hey,
we need to send this to the message board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the people bring it in. And I'll throw one out there. Something about foul weather and Anthony Oliver. That's all I'm going to say.
We have another suggestion for you, Ted, if you want to get a podcast going for UVA fans. Doug Doughty, Roanoke Times. Fans love him.
Yeah.
Do you know of him?
I'm vaguely familiar with him. I know Doughty. So apparently I overheard a little bit of the disdain that I think people have for him now because asked a particular question, so I see TW, you're going to try to get me set up here.
No.
Nice T.
Definitely, hey. Definitely do not have him on.
We'll call it Ted Time with Doug Doughty.
He definitely sent us some hate.
I will have no friends.
I'm still defending him.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I respect that, Mark.
Doughty's got equity, though, doesn't he? He's got equity in.
Yeah, he's like 40 years in the business.
Yeah, I mean, so he's allowed at least a gaffe a year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, and you're allowed to have a different perspective, Mark, because you're more closely involved. We're distanced as fans, and we can get pissed off at whatever we want.
Well, I think it's different because we developed a personal relationship, yeah, right? And I got to know him differently than I think most people did. And he really, I mean, he's a nice guy. He really is.
Well, you guys, Doug, Chris, Ted, do you remember him at all? Do you remember him asking you anything?
I do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I did broadcasting for 6 years, so right. I saw him every game in the locker rooms. And he always had a, you know, piece of, you know, trivia for you to talk about, you know, left-handers or, you know, rebounders or where do you rank. And, you know, he's a good guy. I mean, you know. Yeah.
Right. And as a member of the evil
brand, his brand of comedy can be a little bit, you know, it's selective. It's a fine acquired comedy, but you know, he's a good dude.
Hey guys, as a member of the evil media, I just want to like quickly, like if you are Coach Bennett or another coach or a player in Charlottesville, you're about as far away from the bright lights of New York City or LA. And for the most part, you know, the media is not going to be successful if they're antagonistic, if they really are just sort of.
Right.
And so they're, for the most part, it's respectful. It's, you know, it's kind for the most part. It's I don't want to say deferential, but they'll let the players and let the coaches tell their story. So when something comes up that might be seen as antagonistic, it's so shocking to the fan base that it's distasteful, when for the most part, you know, these guys are busting their butt and they're trying to do the best they can do and not always launch softballs at the players and coaches.
Yeah, but also I think in this instance, I remember the question, I heard the whole thing, and I never would have thought that would be from a UVA follower.
Yeah.
You know, beat reporter, whatever you call it. Because TJ, T and Hav, you remember those guys used to fly in the plane with us to games.
Oh yeah, yeah. Still do. Still right. Do, some of them.
Right. And they were more separate from us. We didn't have relationships as 18, 19, 20-year-old kids.
Yeah. Jeff White is the only guy who flies on the plane with him now.
Right.
But in the past, you know, a couple of them would catch a ride, you know.
Why wouldn't you? But I'm saying for me, that was surprising. But I remember the guys, and I never had a bad experience or whatever. I didn't do too much either, but.
That's great. Well, I appreciate everybody jumping on. I know Phony's
got a little something. Hey, did you guys talk about Carolina at all tonight? Like, at how bad they're probably going to be again?
No. What?
Oh, Andrew. Ooh.
Carolina, even with Carolina refs?
Are they? I don't know.
We only have two teams in the top 10 preseason right now, and that's us and Duke, right?
Right.
And I don't even think Carolina is ranked. Are they not ranked preseason?
You might be. Yeah, right. I
don't know. Let me pull it up.
I thought they were fourth or fifth in the ACC, which might put them outside of the top 25 for sure.
And look, so my son, now 13, is such a basketball junkie, like as far as knowing all the players. He's talking about how good the recruiting class is for Carolina coming in. So, you know, I was anticipating seeing them, you know, at the top of the heap. You know, in the ACC, and always, you know, top 10, top 15 in the preseason rankings. Mm-hmm. But I don't recall seeing them.
They're 16 in the AP, okay. And then Florida State is 21. Outside. Yeah.
So I mean that's still like saying bad for Carolina standards. So do we agree or not agree?
Yeah, absolutely. They're
perennial. What are they? What are they ranked in the ACC?
Yeah, it'd be third or fourth.
We're one, right?
They're right behind Duke.
Yeah, let me.
Yeah, look. It's us, Duke,
fourth,
Florida State. And did we talk about? Did you guys? I don't know. Did you guys talk about? Florida State had what, three pros go last night? Two first rounders.
Yeah, none from Duke.
No first rounders for Duke, but they had two second rounders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And none from UVA for the first time in quite some time, too.
Like you guys, I thought Momedy was going to get a second-round pick, but like Mark said, I'm kind of glad that he didn't after a certain pick in the draft. It's like better off just seeing where your best fit and best options are and go make a team.
Yeah, so preseason UNC is fourth. It's the Virginia, Duke, Florida State, UNC, Louisville.
Okay, so let me. I guess I'll walk my comments back a little bit then.
All right, guys, when I was watching high school recruits and saw the video that Kyle Guy posted of Jay Huff when Jay was redshirting when he dunked from the free throw line, I was like on Jay Huff early, talking him up to all my friends, talking him up on Twitter like crazy. Is this finally the year? I mean, I know that Hauser and Kihei are all and Jay's getting some preseason, but isn't he going to go nuts this year and just kill people?
If Mark's making a face, for the whole year, he'll be great.
Would you say?
If he what, Doug?
If he doesn't go to church this year, the whole year.
Well, he's got to be a lot more focused because he's married now, right?
And I'm a Christian.
Mark, you made a face. People could, the podcast listener, you made a face when I said
so
that.
I think that there's going to be quite a bit of balance, right? I don't know. I can't see one guy going off for UVA this year, right?
Going off, but instead of one game with 10 blocks, three or four games with seven or eight
consistency
blocks.
Is what you're asking for.
That's right. A lot of blocks, 10 blocks.
You did that to Duke. To Duke, not to Maine.
No, it's a good point. It's a really good point. I think right now they're concerned defensively where they are, but if I think Jay averages double figures points. I think he averages 4 to 5 blocks.
And guys, I'm in a bet with my boys. My
bad. Averages 4 to 5 blocks?
Yes. Why not, Ted?
Why not is a great question.
I'm not sure there's another rim protector on the team.
Make it 7. You can't pick Hauser. You cannot pick Hauser. Okay.
Well, Hauser doesn't block.
In 3-point percentage this year.
Who's going to lead in 3-point percentage? Is there a minimum? Minimum? No.
Outside of Hauser.
Minimum 40 attempts.
I'm going to say Woldy. Woldo.
I'm going to say Kihei.
I'm going to say Wolda Tensai.
Yeah, I forgot about Wolda Tensai. He's still there, so yeah. I mean, he saved their bacon a lot last year because he was one of the only guys that was over or close to 40%.
And he got better as the season went along.
Much better. Yeah, once he settled in, remember in his JUCO year before, he was like 48% on 200 attempts.
That jump from Italy to JUCO to ACC, you know, you got to give the guy a little bit of a break.
And he was hurt.
Picking my man Jay Huff.
No, I mean,
open threes all day. They're gonna be so open.
I'm afraid we're gonna see this more of the same of inconsistency from Jay Huff. But I don't know. That's always my concern, right? He comes, plays, has big games, and then disappears, and then scores 17 in a row first half, nothing the next. I don't know. I want to see inconsistency.
If you look at it,
as long as he can,
his KenPom TRA numbers are actually pretty good.
Oh, Dougie, did you hear that?
There we go.
His what?
KenPom. Are you not a KenPom fan?
He said KenPom.
But
what?
Coach used KenPom.
KenPom, man. 11% block rate last year. 11% first in the ACC.
I'm telling you, minutes. If he could play 30 minutes a game, watch out, fella. I mean, you may have the best big man in the country right here that nobody's paying attention to.
He and Momedy were a great tandem rim protector group. Right. You know?
Right.
I hope he continues along that trajectory, but I want to see more from Jay Huff. He's got passion, but I want to see some dog. I need to see some dog in him to see.
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Pump fake, make a three, pump fake, one dribble dunk. Point being, nobody can do that other than him. And if he gets, like you guys said, locked in and aggressive on offense, I think it could just totally demolish other teams' sort of, you know, mental fortitude.
And then, you need some of that Darian Atkins mental attitude.
I do. Sweet. I like that. I mean, because it is that. He has all that potential. We just want to see him put it together for a consistent period of time. And that's a lot. That's tough. That's tough.
Well, he's grown each year, right? Yeah. And now he's a 23-year-old senior or fifth year, sorry. And he's going to likely have a really good year. But it's going to be hard to shine and get a lot of shots. Kihei's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. The ball, Hauser's going to shoot it most of the time from the outside. He's going to be your number one option. Well, the Tensai is going to be probably your number two option. Casey likes to handle the ball. Beekman's supposed to be really good. I don't know if I see one guy averaging 15 points. Maybe. Maybe Hauser.
I'm just saying high KenPom ratings. And just, you know, and when he's in that game, you're like, we got this locked down at the 5 spot. You know, driving, pulling away big guys to the 3-point line, opening things up for drives. Like, I mean, if it's just confident and aggressive, it just opens. If you have a 5-man like that, it's just everything opens up for everybody.
If he stepped into the expectation that this group has, you know, with a certain amount of confidence, this kid will be at least second team minimum. All ACC.
Okay. Thank you, Ted. You're forgiven for not seeing my poster board.
Did I tell you I was partially blind during the majority of my fourth year?
At the beginning of the podcast, you can hear how well I can shoot while totally blind.
Well, thank you for jumping on, Ted. That's awesome. Hey, so the last time we saw you, actually, remember during the podcast, we got news that the ACC tournament was canceled. That was the last time we, that's, Yeah, full circle. We're about to have a season. You're back on, so appreciate you.
I had to come up for making up, you know, I come make up for the season being canceled. So let the party begin. Let's go. Yeah,
let's go. All right.
Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Yeah.
Andrew, hey, appreciate all you guys coming on tonight.
Andrew, stop by anytime. Step to the Mic podcast, my man. Check us out.
I already subscribed. Already subscribed.
My man. You guys have a great evening. Yeah. Have a check. I miss you, brother. Love you, man.
You too, man. Love you, man. All right.
You guys be good.
All right.
Thanks, guys.